Last Sunday, we began a sermon series on some of the shortest books in the Bible. But don't be fooled. They may be short, but they're long on content. Last week, we talked about Philemon and one of his servants, Onesimus. Do you remember that? Well, today, we're going to look at Psalm 117. And this is just about as short as they get. It's just two verses long. Here's verse 1. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. That's verse 1. Here's verse 2. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. That's it. But let's unpack it and see how it influences our lives. Now, here is some trivia for you. Well, it may not be trivia. You decide. If you were to divide the Bible exactly in half, the very center of the Bible would be Psalm 117, right where we are. And I can't help but wonder if God intended that. Maybe he wanted to send a message to us because of the content of this psalm. Because the content is simply praising God, worshiping God, loving God. I don't know how many times you've heard me say this, and probably other people as well. Worship of God is the top priority that we have in life, or it should be. And you may be tired of hearing it. But if so, that's your problem, okay? We need to hear it. I need to hear it over and over and over. We need to put first things first. Did you hear me? We need to prioritize first things first. Jesus himself underscored that priority of worship when he identified the greatest commandment in the law. It's found in three of the four Gospels. A man came to Jesus. He said, Lord, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And then Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6:5. And you know what he said? He said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And those words, which were spoken from God to Moses, from Moses to the people at the bottom of Mount Sinai, were not just for the Hebrews at that time. Those words were quoted by Jesus himself to that man and everyone who was listening that day, as if Jesus were here right now and he was saying, folks, you should love the Lord your God with all your being. Did you hear that word commandment? Yes, it was a commandment, but you know what? It was far more than a commandment. Worship is a privilege. Have you ever thought of it that way? Worship of God is a natural response to him when you love him. Worship is a joy. Psalm 117, right in the middle of the Bible, starts with these words, praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all people. I don't know about you, but I don't use the word extol in my vocabulary very often. Yes, it's a synonym for praise, but it has an added component. Extol means to praise with enthusiasm. Hallelujah! That's what it means, literally. Show me your enthusiastic face. Is that it? I love it. I love it. Praise is very positive. Extol is very, very positive. It's praise on steroids. So we're not only supposed to praise God, but we're supposed to do it with enthusiasm, people. Enthusiasm. How are we doing with that? If a visitor were to come in here on a Sunday morning and look around for our enthusiastic faces while we're praising God, what would they see? I'm just asking. Now, that was a convicting thought, but here's another one. Why do you gather here on Sunday mornings in the first place? Why do you come here? What brings you out of your home into this place or any other place of worship? Why are you here? Now, hopefully I'm not going to be addressing any person here, but I just never know. So I'll go through this. Some people were forced to go to Sunday school and church every Sunday by their parents. And it just became a lifelong habit. So they go to church because that's what we do. No debate. Is that why you're here? Some people gather on Sunday mornings because they just love one another's company. It's a social fulfillment to gather with people that they like and love. Is that why you're here? Some people just like the music. Some people just like the sermon. It's entertaining. Is that why you're here? The Word of God makes it very clear. The reason that we are here is that we love God and we want to praise Him and worship Him with our whole being. Are there differences between or among the words for praise God, worship God, and love God? Yes. No. Maybe. Possibly. Definitely. Was that helpful? Someone put it this way, and I really like this. He said, praise. It's what we do to come into the presence of God. Worship is what we do after we get there. And both of them are because we love God. We love you, Lord. I like that. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy, which calls us to love God with these three words, heart, soul, and might. In Matthew, it says heart, soul, and mind. In Mark, it says heart, soul, mind, and then it adds another word, strength. And in Luke, it says heart, soul, strength, and mind. Confused? Don't be. The Bible is simply and profoundly telling us that we are to love God with our whole being. I've already said that. I'm saying it again. We need to love God with our whole being. Praise God with our whole being. Worship God with our whole being. Holding nothing back, but giving Him total self. Do you do that? I am specifically asking you this question. When you come here on Sunday mornings, do you participate? Do you praise and do you worship and do you love God with your whole being? Can you, with integrity, say that you are focused, you are involved with your mind and with your emotions and with your spirit and with your body. I grew up in a Presbyterian church, as many of you did, I think. Some of you came through the Roman Catholic Church. Some of you came through the Lutherans. Some of you came through the Baptists. Some of you may have come through charismatic churches or perhaps something else. And you know what? With that vast variety of backgrounds, many of us have one thing in common. We often think that our way of worshiping Him is the best way. And their way, Some Presbyterians are noted for loving God with their minds. Presbyterians are supposed to be the intellectual people. And if you go to a typical Presbyterian church, it looks like it. Studious. Roman Catholics love to worship God with rituals. Some Baptists, maybe both, most Baptists, seem to have a corner on emotions because they have a box of tissues up front for the altar call. And they also have the biggest amen corners in all of the churches. And charismatics, well, they love to worship God with excitement and with their bodies. You know, they stand, they raise their hands, they may clap their hands, and some of them even like to shout. Well, I want to say something about all of those denominations, all those styles. They are all wrong. Unless they embrace all of those things. All of those things. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord, with our whole being. Listen, if you just sit there and watch, you're a spectator. You might as well go to the movies. Do you come here on Sunday mornings just to be a spectator? I hope not. But if you do not use your mind and your emotions and your body, you are missing the point of what God tells us to do in worshiping Him. And unless you misunderstand me and all the things that I've been saying, I want you to know I just love worshiping the Lord with you right here. I just love our worship times together. I love it when you read responsively and put inflection in your voice that lets me know that your mind and your heart understand the words you're reading. Rather than just blah, 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 blah. I like it when I hear blah, 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 blah. That was kind of funny, wasn't it? I love it when you sing. In fact, sometimes I stop singing and just listen to you. I did that this morning. I love to hear the good voices and the other voices just joining together and singing their praise to God. I love it when you pray to Him. Have you ever noticed when we have silent prayer, how quiet and how still the room gets? I don't hear any bulletins rattling during silent prayer. There was a message in that. I'll move on. I also love it when most of you raise your hands to God. We have talked about that so many times. In fact, I did a whole sermon series on that years ago, and it's on our website. I think it's called Postures of Praise. And in that sermon series, we took all of the Hebrew words for praise. There are several. We took those Hebrew words for praise and we talked about what they literally mean. And in every single case, they literally mean using your hands to praise God. Sometimes this way in a position of surrender. Sometimes this way in a position of receiving. All kinds of different postures of using your hands in worship. Raising your hands in worship is not a charismatic thing. It is a biblical thing. That's why I stress it. Come on, free up, people. It's just fine. I also remember days in my past in the Presbyterian Church when absolutely no one would even think of raising their hands. Because if they were to raise their hands, they might be labeled a charismatic. Or they might be, people might say they're just showing off. And so people learn not to do that. Well, guess what? The word charisma literally means, primarily means, grace. And if you have received God's amazing grace, then you are a charismatic. Go out of here and tell people what you learned about yourself today. That's good. What's not so good is to be labeled a charismaniac. There are such things. But you know what? I think our charismatic brothers and sisters have discovered what we need to discover. The full meaning of the word extol. Extol the Lord. We're still in verse 1, Chris. We haven't moved on. Chris came up to me this morning before the service and said, I prepared myself today, and I opened Psalm 117, and I started laughing. It's only two verses. He said, I'll bet you prepared something to fill the time for two verses. Well, we're still in verse 1. Okay. In verse 1 it says, praise the Lord, all nations. It also says, extol him, all peoples. Now here comes another challenge. We Americans sometimes tend to think that the world revolves around us. We have a hard enough time accepting the different worship styles of the people in this country and even in our neighborhoods. But add to that the praise and the worship styles of other nations, other tribes, other cultures. And many of us become like a turtle and pull our head into a shell out of fear because it's different. It's unknown. Well, you know what? Jesus did not come just to save Americans. Jesus did not come just to save old people. Jesus did not come just to save white people. Jesus did not come just to save Republicans. And when Jesus answered that important question from that man about the greatest commandment, as you know, he didn't stop there. He said, and the second is like it. The second is love your neighbor as you love yourself. And we don't have to go through who's your neighbor. We all know it could be the person next door. It could be the person in another continent. It could be a homeless person in downtown Baltimore. That's a large part, I think, of what it means to be mission-minded. You know, I think we look at missions, at least I have tended to do this, as Americans sending out the word and sharing with other people that don't know Christ, which is part of it, and it's good. But I think a big part of missions is our learning from them. Whatever they have discovered, whatever God's revealed to them about himself, and widening our horizons in who he is and how we can please him. Chris, let's move to verse 2, shall we? Okay, it's about time, don't you think? Okay, verse 2 tells us why we are to do this. It says, for great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. You know what? Those are just words. unless they have had a deep impact on a person's life. Think about it. How has God demonstrated His love for you? I know that the greatest answer to that is He went to a cross for you. But I'm asking you a far more down-to-earth question right now. Let's have a show of hands. For those of you who are still awake, let's have a show of hands. Has God ever provided your basic needs? Hands. Yeah. Has God provided your basic needs? Yeah. Okay. Has God ever given you someone to love? Lord, they're raising their hands in worship. I'm liking it. Has God ever given you a skill or a talent or a job so that you could support yourself? Has He ever protected you? Are you with me on this? God's love grows. Put your hands down. God's love goes deeper than theological truths. He has been faithful to you and to me in countless ways that we just sometimes ignore. We don't even know they're there. The very fact that you woke up this morning, were able to get dressed, were able to get into a car and come over here is example of His steadfast love for you and His faithfulness. So praise Him for that. Worship Him for that. Thank Him for that. Serve Him for that. It's the center of the Bible. It's right there in the middle. Now, before we end this, I want to focus on just one more word in this psalm, and that is the word Lord. Psalm 117 begins and ends with three words. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, it says. And we need to be very careful here because all of us can admire and love and like many things and many people. And sometimes we get more excited about certain things or certain people than we do our Heavenly Father. We're all subject to that. I think we would be shocked if Jesus were to enter this room right now, stand before you and say, you have an idol in your life. And I think we all do. I think we all have been guilty. Things and people that we get more excited about than we do God. Our enthusiastic face lights up. We need to reprioritize. We need to put first things first. Let's land this baby. Is that okay, Chris? Let's stop. Okay. Brothers and sisters, we were created to worship. And we will. We will worship something. Or we will worship someone left to our own devices. But the central truth, the central teaching of the Bible, the Word of God, is that we were primarily created to worship God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, real worship and praise to God is to love God just because you love God. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let's pray. Father, I don't know how people are going to receive this teaching. Maybe they will embrace it. Maybe it will cause them to do some soul searching. Maybe it will increase worship. Maybe they will ignore it. I don't know, Lord. So, Father, I ask you to speak to each and every one of us and teach us and show us how we can please you more in our worship and our praise and in our love and service to you. For you are our God. Hallelujah. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.